Welcome to Zion's Saturday Call to Sunday Morning Worship, presented by 105-year-old Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill, Alabama, raising the call to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in Baldwin County. We are a church of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, which grew out of Norwegian Lutheran pietism more than a century ago. God's call to worship is simple and straightforward. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's Psalm 29, verse 2. You and I are not worthy to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Believers from the very early days of worship have confessed their sins, their inadequacies, and their decisions which have separated them from God. Lutherans share a public confession each Sunday morning. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we come for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, God promised us to hear this kind of prayer. Psalm 145, verses 17 through 20 explains, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." When we worship together, we affirm the great doctrines and teachings of the historic church by reciting one of the creeds of the faith. The Apostles' Creed states, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen." During the Saturday morning devotional, we have been looking at worship these past weeks by examining specific scriptures that relate to worship. Today we are looking at the question, what needs to be in worship? How important is God's word in a worship service? Our focus scripture comes from Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. These verses have the Hebrew letter Mem. It's a title designating these specific verses, 97 through 104. Psalm 119 is a long psalm, so such letter designations help us talk about certain portions of the psalm. Verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day." The law the psalmist is talking about is the Torah. It is God's law, God's direction, and God's instruction. It includes prophecy. The psalmist is proclaiming that God's word fills his mind during the day, and that it is good, and he loves to hear God's word in his mind. Verse 98 continues in this vein, "You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." The commandments are God's precepts, God's ordinances. There are people out there who do not honor God or God's people. The psalmist identifies these folks as enemies who need to be outfoxed if God's law is to be honored. These enemies of God's word are all over. We have the same people in our society, people who do not want to hear God's word and don't want to have God's people around them because those people remind these enemies of God and his word. The word enemy is not talking about a generic enemy of some kind, but a personal enemy, one who has a name and a destructive agenda. Verse 99 explains that the one who follows God is not at a disadvantage with such enemies because God's word has much wisdom and much understanding within it. The verse says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." This understanding comes through meditation, reflection, prayer, and devotion. It is one thing to hear instruction, but it is quite another thing to talk about what is said. You and I know that we learn many things in school from many different teachers, but the things that have really stuck with us are the things which we thought about after the fact. The psalmist is telling us that God's word is like that, a word that gives us reason to think. Thinking is one thing, but look at verse 100. "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts." The psalmist is not talking about simple knowledge. Knowledge is important, but what you do with knowledge is even more important. The psalmist tells us that he knows lots of things, but he understands because God's word gives direction for using that knowledge. When he says, "I keep your precepts," he is saying that he watches over and guards the ideas that God has given him. How does a person do that? Verse 101 explains, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word." Evil ways are wicked and mischievous. Those ways bring trouble and hurt and adversity. Those ways are grievous. They are just plain bad. The psalmist tells us straight out, "I hold back and decide to go a different way than the evil way." Then he says this, "I do this so that I keep and preserve the word you, God, have given me. I heed the wisdom conveyed in your law. I listen to you, God." How long has this been going on in the psalmist's life? God's word has been the focus in life for the psalmist. "I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me," he says. That word we translate departed has the sense that the psalmist has not turned aside to pursue other things, things that potentially will lead away from God's wisdom. As Christians, we understand that the Holy Spirit actually comes to us when we come to Christ, that he resides with our spirit. He enables us to know Christ and the will of our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is a teacher, God's teacher. The psalmist has not left his teacher behind as he has lived his life. "Thy word, O God, is ever before me," he would say. When the psalmist speaks of God teaching, he uses a word that relates to taking a shot, like with a bow and arrow. The sense is, "God, you have kept me in your sights. God, you have targeted me for the wisdom I have received from you." Being such a target is positive because knowing God's word and experiencing his teaching makes life sweet. This does not mean that life does not have its down times. But God's word puts a different perspective on life. Here's verse 103. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." God's word is agreeable and brings a smoothness and a leveling to the hills and valleys of living. God's word reminds us that knowing him in the midst of life's dilemmas is a pleasant blessing. God's word is sweet and pleasant because of, look at verse 104 here, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Understanding involves prudence and instruction. Instruction brings discernment. Discernment that sees through lies and deceit and falsehood, those things in life that are out to scuttle our ship. Our enemy, the devil, is out to destroy us. Hazards of life seek to separate us from our Heavenly Father. Guess what? God's word provides the tools of understanding to help us find our way. That's why the psalmist can say, "I hate the deception of this world because it seeks to separate me from you, O God." An interesting few verses, right? But what do they have to say to us concerning our worship when we seek to honor and praise God and learn of his will and his ways? Just this. You and I need to think about God's word. We need to have a heart that is not diverted from godliness. Worship needs God's word as a focus. Things that interfere with our receiving that word are not to be a part of worship. We need time to think about what God is saying in order to understand what God is doing in our daily lives. You and I need to be dissuaded from interfering with our worship, whether we are thinking of the things of the day that lies before us, or following up to that cell phone ring, to going to lunch after church, or whatever. God's desire is that we focus on Him and His holy word. Understanding, particularly spiritual understanding, comes only from God and His word directed to us through the scriptures. Worship needs that focus at its heart, whether we are talking personal devotions, group Bible study, or Sunday morning worship. Well, let's listen in on Zion congregation members talking about some of the elements of worship at Zion Lutheran Church.
I know I went to, you know, the other church one time before, and they would just get up and more or less give his opinion, but you take yours out of the Bible, which is the Word of God, so that's what I would have to go.
God's Word sometimes doesn't say what we want to hear.
No, sir.
How central is God's Word to worship?
It's the very meat of the worship. If you didn't have the Word of God, what would you worship? And it says to hear, you have to hear the Word of God, and I think that's what you do. Is you tell the sermons that you use, or you use the Word of God to base your sermons on.
I think that trust, just the worship experience itself, having the Word to speak to us, to always be on our hearts, there's a way that I think that you just know that every member that's here, no matter what happens, you feel that you could trust them to be there for you in any way or any need that you might have in your life. You know that the Lord works through every member here to make sure that we would always be able to have that trust. I don't even think about, because I've always distrusted so much of our worship experience and what I take from this and our church family here.
Well, trust and faith are pretty much the same thing. You know, you trust God, you give it to Him, and the hard part is to let Him keep it and do it through His way, you know. But for us humans, that's difficult.
How about question number 11 here? What do we trust when we come to worship? How does trust get involved in Sunday morning worship? How do we trust one another? How do we trust God because of worship?
Well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll come to you. You trust in Him.
Belief brings trust.
It sure does.
We are coming to the end of our time together. Let's share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, please receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Zion Lutheran Church invites you to liturgical worship. We use the familiar classic common service, which has been a choice of a variety of Lutheran church bodies for the last century. Got more time? Come to Sunday school at 9 a.m. Want midweek Bible study? Join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays for an hour of study and a time of prayer. Are you a lady? How about considering our monthly women's Bible study at 10 a.m.? Call Zion Lutheran Church for details at 251-945-5209. And men, think breakfast before work. Complimentary breakfast. Our Men's 710 Breakfast and Speaker Fellowship meets at 7:10 a.m. on the second Tuesday of the month. Zion is located a block off State Highway 104 at 15875 4th Avenue at 7th Street in beautiful Silver Hill, just across the street from Silver Hill School. Zion Lutheran Church is a congregation of the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in America. Specific information about Zion Lutheran Church can be obtained at www.lutheransinsilverhill.com or by calling 251-945-5209. Goodbye, and God bless you until we meet again.